You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here for the RHAP Rewind. And this week, this is where the magic happens. We're talking MTV Cribs, Season 16, Episode 12, Season 18, Episode 24, both on Paramount Plus. And here to break it all down once again, the great Chappelle is here. Chappelle, how are you?
Oh, Rob, I didn't see you there. Thank you. Come on in. Yes. I want to show you around. Yeah, that's Cribs in a nutshell, honestly.
Yes.
I'm feeling good, Rob. Thank you for having me back. I'm very excited to talk to you about Cribs. It's a show I know very well. And I've been meaning to revisit for a while. So here we go. I'm happy to dive right in and talk to you about it.
And we have another great panel here with us here to talk MTV Cribs. Very excited to have with us two great guests. Of course, first, you could hear her talking about Married at First Sight, and of course, on all of the Big Brother Canada recaps. Asia Welch is here. Asia, how are you?
Hey, Rob. So if you were here in my house, I would show you all the stuff I had in my fridge, like the water and yogurt that I don't eat, and the fruit. Like it's really packed full of stuff, and you know. We could spend some time on that or not.
Yeah, we're going to end this podcast with everybody take us on a tour of their house and see everything that's going on in the refrigerator. That's how we'll close this out for people to stick around. And then, of course, also with us here today, very excited to have back with us, Jason Reed is here. Jason, how are you?
Rob, I'm good. Happy to be back in the podcast saddle with you where all the magic happens. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Nice to have you back here. Was there ever a Crib spinoff?
No, I don't think so. They have mini spinoffs inside of Cribs. Like they used to go on like little adventures to just like show you different places. But other than that, like hotels where the stars would stay when they went to different places. But no.
Was Pimp My Ride after Cribs? Was that any sort of like the same idea as Cribs, but like a car?
I want to say Pimp My Ride was like around after the first iteration of Cribs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because Cribs has had a few different iterations, but.
Right, and Pimp My Ride was focused on like everyday people. You could be an average Joe getting your ride pimped and getting like a cotton candy machine in the back.
Not celebs.
Right.
Yeah. Pimp My Ride, yeah, definitely can fly because of the work that Cribs did. I think Cribs started in 2000, and then Pimp My Ride pulled up in 2004. So it gave it several years of content to think, how can we make these rides just extravagant as we had some of these houses? And they do a really good job of embarrassing me, quite honest.
How can they showcase the charm and personality of Exhibit?
Yeah. I'm very excited to talk about Cribs here today. If you missed it last week, Chappelle and I talked about Nanny 911 with Kelsey Rosmondi, Asia's real life friend. That we have you ever had car chicken with Kelsey when you go on road trips?
No,
That wasn't
I haven't.
Yet?
No. Yeah. But let's see. Well, the only road trip we have gone on was to see you, Rob, in Austin. Mm-hmm. And then everything else, it's either just visiting each other or meeting up or seeing each other in casual places, you know, but we've never come across Chappelle, even though Chappelle is close proximity to Houston. He can join the fun, but
get
he won't.
Car chicken ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go see his crib.
I have to. I have to thank Kelsey too for, you know, I'd never heard of this Asia Welch person. And so she told me about her and I was like, we got to have her on the podcast. And of course, Jason is here as well. The like reality TV historian that he is. So Rob, I thought this was a perfect panel for this discussion.
Yeah, this is a great panel. Chappelle, can you tell us about your history with Cribs?
Yeah. Okay. We can talk about this every week. I was watching a bunch of TV shows I shouldn't have been watching. And Cribs was kind of one of the ones that I could probably get away to, or like away with in most households, as opposed to some of the things that I should not have been watching for sure. But Cribs is kind of like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, but for like, you know, the young millennial group that was coming of age around that time. And it kind of gives you an insight into some of these celebrities' homes and gives you like a glimpse of what it's like to live this lavish, you know, hip hop or like acting or movie lifestyle where you have a bunch of money, expendable funds, and you want to show off in front of all your friends and the rest of the world. And so, yeah, I appreciate all of that. It's something that I will never perceive for myself, but this is definitely something that I could watch as a child and say like, oh, wouldn't that be cool if that happened? It will never happen to me, make no mistake. But looking at these other people and kind of living vicariously through them was my thing back then. So yeah, a long history with this show.
Jason, is there a secret to making a good Cribs episode? Like, is there certain things that the celebrities want to make sure they do or do not do?
I mean, the formula is, you know, show you what's in my fridge, show you my cars, Scarface poster. And, you know, you always got to throw something like random and like weird in there to kind of differentiate yourself from anybody else. So that's kind of the formula of Cribs.
Asia, are there any particular like memorable, like breakout people that have done Cribs appearances?
Yeah, for one, like one that really sticks out to me was Redman, because his was so everyday. Like he lived in a normal place like everyone else. You could look around and see the things that Redman was showing. And he made it really allowed me to see as a younger Asia that you don't have to go blowing your money on some fancy place. You can be like Redman and just buy a regular house or buy a regular apartment and live like normal people. But everyone else was just like, these are like, you know, when I got older, I realized that, you know, celebs, they have these houses and they don't stay in them. Or they might have multiple and don't see them. So then that really kind of messed things up for me. Cause I watched this as a young child thinking like, this is so cool. This is where they live. Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. They have all these rooms, only to come to find out that like, no, they probably don't stay there.
So you're saying they have multiple houses or they just rent this house for MTV Cribs?
Well, I mean, well, people do have multiple houses, like one in New York, one in LA, and they'll show us the LA one, but that's like their vacation home, not the one that they live every day in. Cause then I'm thinking like, oh, what's like dinner like with their family in this place? You know, but then it's like they're not living that type of situation in the house they're showing us.
What really broke my heart was when you find out that those cars are not actually their cars and they just rented them for the day to show them on Cribs. Like broke my heart back in the day.
Oh, yeah. We can get into that at the end. I have a list of things I want to discuss. I love shenanigans and Cribs is full of it.
Chappelle, do you have any favorite Cribs episodes?
Oh, yeah. Well, like Asia said, the Redman episode is iconic because you get so many episodes that are pretty formulaic. Like Jason was saying, you open the refrigerator, there's nothing in there but water and Red Bull, you know, that kind of thing. But with Redman's house, it was like, hey, I've been to this apartment before. And if not, this is the apartment that I'm probably going to have. And I probably have a similar apartment to Redman at this current moment. But yeah, like, so that's the episode that stands out. But I remember like all the celebrities had them. This was a popular format of television show. Like I said, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous with Robin Leach, but also BET had a version called How I'm Living. And it was all the same. Yeah. So I was watching all of them. I wanted to see all the rich, fancy stuff that people can do. So when one day I save up all my money, sell some plasma and do other things, ignore my student loan payments, I too can afford to, you know, a golden toilet seat. Who had the golden? Was it Master P had a golden toilet seat?
I think so.
I think Birdman had like a Louis Vuitton helicopter or something like that. Like these are the kind of things that appeal to Chappelle. So yeah, I have a ton of favorite episodes, but Redman is number one with a bullet.
Jason, after a year of quarantine, do you think that MTV Cribs is now primed and ready to come back? Like, are we ready to see where everybody has been living, like, in lockdown for the last year?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Going to the living room is like, yeah, this is my living room where I spend most of my time, or all of my blankets, where I just sit and watch Netflix all day and do nothing else. All my junk food is scattered on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how long has MTV Cribs been off the air? Like, it's not still in, they don't still make these, right?
Oh, no.
Oh, dear God, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. At this point in history, Rob, we're kind of tired of looking at people's homes. I know I'm tired of seeing my own home. So maybe, yeah, even if it was still on the air, I doubt it would have survived the pandemic.
Yeah. It looks like that it last appeared as a Snapchat series in 2017 and 2018.
So. Okay.
That's hilarious.
Just those influencer houses, like those big conglomerate houses of influencers.
Yeah, TikTok houses, I think.
Yeah, like the hype house or whatever. The sway house. Yeah, I fulfill this guilty obsession by just going on Zillow. And just looking up expensive neighborhoods, zoom in. Now let me look at this house. This house is $5 million. Let's see what it's like. Oh, this house is $12 million. Let's see how many rooms there are. Let's take a look at the pool.
I prefer to do the fridge.
Right. That's true. That is true. But I could also, if I want to see what Kylie Jenner is drinking, I can go to her Instagram story because I guarantee it's there.
Okay. So we have two episodes of Cribs that we're going to talk through to give like a little bit of a sense of like what happens in an average Cribs episode. One is a celeb teen episode. Chappelle, was that the whole season 16 or did they occasionally do celeb teen editions?
No, see, Cribs was on for so long that they had to find ways to spice it up. Very similar to Survivor. So they would do stuff like, oh, this person, we saw their one crib, but now we're going to see the next crib. You know, so like they would have episodes of people's second homes or episodes of just athletes, just rappers, just movie stars, to where you have kind of like a theme for each episode. And this episode was just like a one-off theme. They did, I won't say one-off because they do it a couple times. I mean, there's what, 6, 17 seasons of it, so they repeat a lot of things. But yeah, celeb teens was like a very popular thing because celebrity like stand-up back in the 2000s was very popular, whether it was boy bands or, you know, like pop stars. People were latching on to the lives of these young celebrities. And so there was a market to show off, you know, how these people were living.
Okay. In this episode, season 16, episode 12, we're going to see three celebrities profiled. We're going to see Soulja Boy, we're going to see Lil Mama, and we're going to see the great Mark Indelicato.
Yes, Mark Indelicato.
Yes.
Yes.
That is...
the one and only.
Yes. Mark Indelicato, the Alma Award-winning actor who is from Ugly Betty, at least season one, Mark Indelicato. All right. Chappelle, Soulja Boy, how do we get introduced to what he has going on?
Okay. So for the people who are like not familiar with Soulja Boy, his full name is Soulja Boy Tell'em.
Yes.
And you got to say to Tell'em. Okay. So it's Soulja Boy Tell'em. And Soulja Boy is a young teen star as well. He made his claim to fame to like in YouTube.
Yeah.
Music video, basically. So he created a song and it went viral. It was one of like the biggest viral sensations of all time. He kind of pioneered this whole idea of you don't have to have a great song. You just have to have like a good visual slash dance to go along with it. And so Soulja Boy was filthy rich at this time. I mean, he was because he was like the poster boy of these things. So in his home, we get to see a lot of, you know, the influences that go into that culture that he was kind of pioneering at the time. But yeah, we start off when opening his door to a big cardboard cutout of Soulja Boy.
Yeah.
He's guarding his own door and he's dressed like 2008. And I love it.
Did you notice he also had that same cutout in his living room? So not that
multiple.
Yeah, it was in the living room in the corner next to his TV. I was like, did he move it? Because now we're looking at the room. No, when he walked back to the stairs to go upstairs, he still had the one by the door. So yeah. He has two.
Having one of those is funny. Having two of those is sad.
Look, I just feel like he was following him around. Like, you know, it's one of like those those paintings with the eyes that just move as you mm-hmm. walk around. That's what this guy, except it's actually moving. This cardboard cutout is just literally following him around the house. Because he says, before you can come in the house, you have to look into the eyes of the cutout, and it will determine if it's safe to come in.
Wow.
And got to come in.
Yeah, that's like when you go into like a pyramid or something like that. You have to get past that to like get in and not like set up the booby traps.
Yeah, you dodge in the like the poison darts and then like all that stuff, the snake pit.
So I love this idea that I want to start to get the cardboard cutouts. I need the cardboard cutout of me. I want all the podcasters have a cardboard cutouts of just like in the background. No good, Chappelle?
I mean, don't tempt your patrons because they love you dearly. Mm-hmm. And you will walk outside tomorrow and there will be a big Rob standing there. Probably in that
Rob,
muscle
shirt. Do you think they'll sell yours on the CBS online store?
No. I mean, maybe in the Rob's podcast shop that we should sell like life size cutouts of all. No,
is that what you really want? Do you really want people to be able to do things to your cardboard cutout?
What are people doing to my life size cutout?
Rob,
yeah. I don't really want to think about it.
You wouldn't even need us anymore. You would just hop on a podcast and put like Chappelle here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then just do your own thing.
Like Rob's really quiet for this Facebook Friday.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do if I end up being like some of there's like basically like nuclear war happens and I'm the only person that makes it. I just have to set up all the cardboard cutouts and I'm just going to keep going with the podcast.
Yeah.
It's going to be very jarring when you have your Facebook Friday, like Jason was saying. And then like you like, okay, we have Jeff on the phone and then Jeff is standing next to Rob. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that. Good job, Soldier Boy. Then I didn't know that he was the Dirty Award winning Soldier Boy. Tell him.
Yes, of course. Soldier Boy won the Dirty Award in Atlanta. And, you know, he was proud to show it off. That's another thing that's very formulaic about Cribs is that we have these celebrities, these stars, these, you know, the people that people hold to high regard. And so they want to show off their awards. And Soulja Boy was very quick to show off his dirty one.
Yes.
So how many awards do you think you need before you can actually show them? Because he had a whole bookcase, only had like three awards.
It had four. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Premature.
Yeah, nothing says 2009 like having an award-winning pimp cup on your bookcase. Like, that is 2009 in a nutshell.
It's a chalice. Don't be disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Guess what are the Dirty Awards?
So, it's like a hip-hop award situation in Atlanta. There, it's where a lot of the, like... I think the one Soulja Boy had actually won that was right, one of the earlier ones. Mm-hmm. No, it was 2008. So it was probably like the fourth one. So it's just where they go and they they award, I guess you could say, these like rappers and stuff, like a lot of the Atlanta personalities. I think Soulja Boy at some point was living in Atlanta and his music really took off there as well. Mm-hmm. So it made a lot of sense for him to get that kind of award, especially because, like I said, he was very much pioneering his like almost like his genre of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. If you ask him today, he created going viral.
Yeah.
Like, that's his thing right now.
Yeah.
Is trying to press that home. That's kind of where he is today.
But in fairness, like he was like one of the first like social media stars before that was even really a thing. Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, he was. I know his dance, Soulja Boy.
Like he was a vlogger, right? He would put videos up on and like talk about stuff all the time. Like before that was like you know you would think like oh he's just like an Instagram person now or a TikToker, but like he was probably using things like YouTube, like people use TikTok now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
He had a stranglehold on MySpace as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like MySpace, look, I'm aging myself, but MySpace, Soulja Boy was like in there and people were dressing like Soulja Boy. I say certain people were dancing, mm-hmm. dressing like Soulja Boy, making dance videos and putting them on their MySpace page. Don't know anybody who fits that description, but you know, I've heard these things happen. So yeah, Soulja Boy was very influential at the time. And, for that reason, he wins his Dirty Award.
Mm-hmm. Chappelle, were you in a lot of top eights?
Well, see, I was a jerk. So I was like, well, what if we just did like a top two? You know, like, let's raise the bar a little bit. Let's push the envelope here because people are battling to get in top eight. But like, what if I don't have a top eight? Then where do you stand? And then if I'm not in your top eight, am I even going to follow you? There were things that had to be discussed when you were making your MySpace page. You had to have it set up. You had to have your Soulja Boy music video in the background. Everything had to be perfect. And so, yeah, I was very serious about, you know, who was in my top eight.
Can you imagine the battle royale today to try to get to Chappelle's top eight? Just today.
Mine, I'm talking about trying to get into Asia's top eight. She look like, I'm like, Kelsey, this Asia person sounds amazing. Who is that? Like, okay, let's get her on a podcast. Everyone's like clamoring for her space.
Oh, wow.
Jason, you could be in my top eight. I know we're not on good terms right now, but if you want to, get an open invitation.
What spot though? It's not just in the top eight. It's the order.
Exactly. Like, you could spot be seven.
Nothing less than top five. I'll take nothing less than top five.
Top row or second row?
Exactly.
Jesus was definitely in my top eight. And I made a point of making him number one so nobody could complain about. But then, like, I would make him number one and then number two would be somebody. And they're like, oh, really? That person's next to Jesus? Like, like, you can't win. That's why MySpace didn't work. The top eight was tearing it apart.
See, I was a type that you probably weren't in my top eight unless I was in your top eight. And then I had friends like you, Chappelle, who would have like a top two. And then I'm like, well, that makes room for someone else in my top eight.
Ooh.
So. Yeah. It's a dirty game. A dirty
award-winning
game.
Dirty award-winning game. Soulja Boy shows us about his fireplace. Jason, were you that impressed with Soulja Boy's fireplace?
No. And he goes like, he's like, kazam! I'm like, what? It's an automated fireplace, bro.
Right.
Calm down.
I'm like, I had one of those in the house I lived in like 10th grade.
I could buy one for $100 right now, put it in my living room, like right now, today.
What year was this again? 2009?
2009. That's what I'm thinking.
2009?
No, because at the time that this aired, I also had an automated fireplace.
Oh, look at you, Miss Wealth. No. Asia Wealth.
It's like anybody could have it.
Sure. Okay. Tell us more about the golden bidet, Asia.
Except on Cribs, Asia Wealth shakes us with her lavished Texas mansion.
That's why she's on Zillow. She's trying to level up in front of her eyes.
We got to see Soulja Boy's workstation also. Got to see huge camera that he is using to make his videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can put all that technology is in our iPhones right now, right? Like that's all compressed in our phones right now.
Yeah,
he's like, I got a camera, I got a computer. I just really do all my work.
It was refreshing to see like behind the scenes of what makes Soulja Boy Soulja Boy. You know, like he's not the like most serious artist. Like, you know that, like, no composer is, you know, crying for Soulja Boy's work right now. Mm-hmm. But at the time, he really was doing things that people hadn't done, and so yeah, this was a glimpse into kind of, you know, how he makes his money, and that was very much a part of it.
So, Asia, we got to meet Miami Mike. Miami Mike, it seems like that in all of these Cribs episodes, it seems like that you need to have at least one person who's around but doesn't talk. That's Miami Mike.
That's another piece of the formula.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta have random guests.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I don't get. Why do you need to have a random person just chilling in your house that, oh, hey, Miami Mike, or hey, Chef
Hannah,
or, you know, or hey, friend, like, little mama had a friend there. It's like, why? It even like, it doesn't make sense to me why you just have random people living around your house. Because then that, as a kid, that made me think I need to just have random friends over constantly. You know, this is, you know, watching this from a different frame, like, Jason and I were talking about, this show does not age well, because if we think about it now, like, these things seem like,
where are their normal masks? So you got somebody in their house? Exactly.
And it's like, is it really just Miami Mike just chilling in his house? Like, you knew Cribs was coming. Why does a random person have to be chilling in your house? But yeah, like Jason said, part of the formula.
The friend looks like they've been dragged into the situation. Like, I didn't want to come here today and be on TV, but you made me.
Miami Mike seems so bored. They're like, there's one point like where later on Soulja Boy is like showing his car and Miami Mike is just like texting like in the background of the shot. It's like Miami Mike, like, look a little excited here.
How can they be bored? They were watching Room Raiders on MTV on the TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another solid show.
Yeah, another solid show, Rob. Put it on the list. But I thought that that was endearing. Even when I was younger, because I thought like, wow, if one of my friends was on Cribs, you better believe I'm going to be there. Are you kidding me? Like, oh yeah, I rented this home to show off and pretend it's mine. Are you going to come? Duh. Like, let me sit on top of your Lambo and take pictures. Are you kidding me? So that made sense to me. And I like seeing Miami Mike right there, because I have very much been a couch surfer in my life, where like not staying at people's homes, but definitely if you look up at any given time, I could be sitting on your couch watching television. So it made sense to me to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it just because it would be weird to just have the celebrity show the whole house and not interact with anybody?
Yeah, like, what's probably the point? Well, Asia, how awkward would it be if I was just like, a camera crew was coming to your house? You're probably like, okay, well, somebody else could be a buffer or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I'm like awkwardly like, oh, here's my pantry where I keep my spices.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe add to it in some way. Interact with that person, not just, oh, hey, and then we have the lower third to see who the person is. But why? We're not going to do anything with that.
Well, Chappelle, this for when you take over the RHAP Instagram. Make sure you have like a random person just at your house, like hanging out.
I never pegged you as that irresponsible to let me take over the RHAP Instagram. But now that I know that you have, you are capable of making those mistakes, then yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You get to meet my, Money Mike? What was his
Miami
name?
Miami Mike.
Miami Mike.
Yeah, I got a Miami Mike down the street too, and he'd love to be on Instagram.
But you know who should have been the random guests for these people, especially for this celebrity teen edition? Their parents. Where are these people's parents at?
Well, old is Soulja Boy at this point?
19.
Yeah, 19 at this point.
Yeah. And I believe Soulja Boy at this point was pretty much independent. You know, he wasn't like living with his parents. I believe his mom might have passed away, if I remember correctly. But I know him and his dad lived in Atlanta for a while. But I think by this point, Soulja Boy was kind of like, he was a tale of what happens when you give somebody who comes from no money a ton of money. And so and based off of their own actual skill set, right? Like, he was self-made in a way. And so it was like, yeah, because of that, I think he was kind of on his own more often than not. And what he kind of alludes to later on is that this is just his California house. Mm-hmm. He has an Atlanta house, too. So maybe that's where his dad was. Who knows?
So we get to see the systems, Jason. He's got the Xbox. Is that Xbox 360?
Yeah, that was a 360, baby.
Yeah.
I got a broken one of those somewhere around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Soulja Boy, he likes to play video games. I think he's on Twitch now.
Yeah.
Still gaming. He's still doing it.
Twitch superstar. Yeah. Yeah. He's very popular on Twitch. And Soulja Boy has no problem being popular. He's really good at that. Like rounding up fans. I was a Soulja Boy fan. I've already alluded to that a couple times, but like SOD Money Gang was a thing, and I put it in my Twitter bio way back in 2009.
And then, Asia, we get a look at what's going on in Soulja Boy's kitchen.
Rob, I could not. Not only does he have an electric stove, he's like, oh, I never turned this on. Let me see if it works. Turns it on, and then he's just like, oh, well, you know, I don't know if it works. But guess we'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you do if you have a gas stove. You'll see the fire, right?
Right.
Electric, the only way to know it works is you put your hand on it, which I was waiting for him to do. I would have loved to see that. But no, he doesn't cook. He said he's never turned it on, which is just, I mean, you don't even make ramen noodles. Like,
no.
He got a microwave.
He's got a microwave.
And hot pockets.
Avalanche
of hot pockets.
Yeah. Oh, Rob. When we're talking about refrigerators and kitchens, you have to know that the Cribs refrigerators are always, they're like, there's only like two or three ways you can do it, right? Like, you're like an actual person who, like Asia was saying, some of these people don't live and serve dinner in their homes. But if you're an actual person who lives in your home, you have like a fully stocked normal refrigerator. And then you have like the people who are never there and they only have like Mentos in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then like third, you have like, oh, I had to buy stuff for this. So now I have these things. And you have like bottles of water, Gatorade, Red Bull, and Hot Pockets like Soulja Boy.
Yeah.
There's no way he lives in that home permanently enough to buy actual food. And as you can see, like Akiva, he doesn't know how to do things for himself. And so I wasn't shocked when he opened it up and I saw this very beautiful layout inside of his refrigerator. Yeah.
fruit punch, water, Gatorade, no food in the refrigerator, and then opens the freezer. Jason, it's all Hot Pockets, and I believe all the pepperoni Hot Pockets, like not even like a variety of Hot Pockets.
Yeah, it was an avalanche. You couldn't even contain it in that freezer. Like, you open it, it'll all come falling out. And, you know, Hot Pockets every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner is fun when you're 18. But when you, you know, get older, like, that gets old real fast. He's going to learn that.
Yeah.
Shoot, the last time I was eating Hot Pockets, I was in, like, fifth grade. And I would always heat one up to take it on the bus and eat it on the way to school. I'm like, right, I don't remember.
Your mouth off.
Right, exactly. He is 19 here.
Yeah.
Acting like a college student, mm-hmm. but not in college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Last Hot Pocket I had was probably yesterday.
What flavor?
They're pepperoni. It's the most elite flavor. Look, it's something about that ham and cheese, it gets hotter than the pepperoni one. Like, you want to burn your lip? Let that ham or cheese touch that lip, bro. You'll never eat a Hot Pocket again, or at least, you know, for a couple weeks until you decide to
eat it. Do you put it in the sleeve or do you go no sleeve?
Okay, when it comes to Hot Pocket etiquette, like, okay, I've tried it all. Okay, I think I tweeted about, like, oh, my Hot Pocket didn't get warm in the middle one time. And somebody's like, you got to put it in the oven. That defeats the whole purpose of a Hot Pocket. This is supposed to be 2 minutes in and out. So what I do is I put it in the sleeve, cook it for like a minute, take it out of the sleeve, cook it for like 30 seconds so the middle can get hot. Then put it back in the sleeve, put an extra 30 seconds on it. Because that way you still get the crisp, but the middle gets... I could do a whole cooking show on Hot Pockets and air fryer. So you really come to the right person for this.
So you, then you put the Hot Pocket in the air fryer then?
No. Don't do that. Don't do that. Microwaves cook different than air fryers. We don't have to get into that right now. Right?
Okay, so Hot Pockets and air fryers, don't put a Hot Pocket in an air fryer.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. It's not going to cook how you want it to cook. Trust me.
Yeah. Do you think Miami Mike is like, hey, let's order dinner? And Soulja Boy's like, no, we got all these Hot Pockets. What are you talking about, Mike?
Dinner right here, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why Miami Mike is fed up and texting. He's trying to figure out what he's going to eat. He's like, I've been at Soulja Boy's house all day and I cannot eat another Hot Pocket.
Exactly.
Big guy.
Then we get the inevitable stop at the bedroom, master bedroom, the double doors, and we get to see Soulja Boy Tellum's bedroom. Any thoughts on the bedroom for Soulja Boy?
Mm-hmm. These Gucci sheets.
Yeah.
That literally textbook what Chappelle just said. This is what happens when you give somebody with no money some money. So he has the Gucci sheets. He has a $2,000 Louis Vuitton rug or towel. I'm not sure.
Wasn't a great rug. Yeah.
It wasn't. It could pass for a towel.
Yeah.
A $20,000 customized Gucci bracelet and a $50,000 customized Gucci watch.
Well, can we go back to the bed for a second? He said something about $100,000 for the... there's
the
no
Gucci
way that...
Gucci pillowcases, Rob. Stop it. You ain't never had a Gucci pillowcase?
No. No.
Asia, tell us how Gucci pillowcases feel.
Like, that can't be right. Correct?
I mean, I had to rewind it. I was like, you're telling me your pillowcases cost $100,000, but this raggedy rug you got, this Louis Vuitton, cost $2,000? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, but if it was me, I'd probably sleep on the rug because you could probably save some more money because $100,000 for some pillowcases is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was wild. Ooh,
Jason, I have a question. What did Soulja Boy do in his bedroom? What did he not do in his bedroom that everybody does? What's the saying he missed?
This is where the magic happens.
This is where the magic happens. Rob, because this was a teen episode, we didn't get a lot of that.
Yeah.
But something about Cribs being on, I don't know who the first person who said it. I guess that'd probably be a good project for me since I have a lot of time, apparently, to go back and find out who the first person who opened the doors of their crib and said, this is where the magic happens.
Yeah.
But honestly, it got said so many times to where it was synonymous with the show. I think because Soulja Boy was 19, at least he had the sense to not say that.
He probably said it and there was like, you can't say that. You're 19.
Mm-hmm. Right. Calm down. Stop it.
In the next episode that we're going to watch with the adults, Tyrese takes us to the bedroom and says, this is the jump off.
Yeah.
I'm going to
get into that later.
I'm going to tell Nicole that later. Say that.
Oh my God.
I wrote that down.
Yeah. Good job, Rob. You might need it.
She will kill you and replace you with a cardboard cutout. In a
Yeah. Now, is it a good idea for Soulja Boy to not only show us the all of the jewelry he has, but also he's like, hey, look at this secret compartment. All right.
Yeah.
Here's where it all is.
Rob me. Here's how you do it.
Yeah.
That's how you know he doesn't live there. We already got the hallway shot to see exactly how to get to his place. Like, he doesn't live. We know that.
Yeah. Also, I don't need to steal Soulja Boy's jewelry. I can just steal his damn mat off the ground, like the little carpet off the ground. It's $2,000. Now, hell, I won't look for your jewelry because I'm going to take your Gucci pillowcases. That's $100,000. What do I need? Yeah. What do I need with your $50,000 chain? I got your pillowcases. It's more.
Listen, this is how you know that you're an old now, okay? When you're a teenager, you look at all those chains and that jewelry, you're like, oh, that's awesome. I want that. And when he's adding up all the totals, I'm like, I could almost pay off my house with all that. Like,
what? I haven't marveled at stainless steel appliances so much. I was like, am I old? Because every time someone showed off the kitchen, I was like, man, that stainless steel refrigerator is amazing. Oh my gosh, you just love a stainless steel appliance.
That oven hood is magnificent.
It was. And then, of course, like Asia said, he had the electric. That was a nice flat top electric stove. I was like, for 2009, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, his place was 3,200 square feet, but he only had, not only, but he has two bed, two bath. So where was the other square footage? Like, from what he showed us, that didn't seem like 3,200, unless they're counting, I don't know, the stair space.
The balcony type thing. What is it? The rooftop?
Well, they wouldn't count that as part of the square footage,
that's community,
right?
That's community.
I thought that was his. I thought he was flexing.
Yeah.
Mm-mm, he did not have a door. I said that is not part of his place.
He had a card key. Ghetto.
Maybe Miami Mike's room was like a pigsty. You can't show you what's going on in there.
We can't go in there.
We go outside. Soulja Boy shows us the view. He does like a hurdle. It wasn't super impressive.
And we had to replay it for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Slow motion replay.
Fill the time.
Yeah. And he says he's the king of the world, Soulja Boy.
Mm-hmm. You know, very topical reference at the time. Mm-hmm. He was on the Titanic in his house. Apparently,
Titanic like 10 years old at that point.
10-year-old reference at that time.
I mean, it was still relevant. I think it's not relevant at all anymore. But back then, I think you could still pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
And we go see his car. Go see Lambo for Soulja Boy.
Yeah,
look good.
I mean, it looked like a Lambo.
Mm-hmm.
Does a 19-year-old need a Lambo? Probably not.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask y'all that. Is a Lambo like every man's dream car? I heard that recently and I was like, I didn't know that, but I could ask you guys.
Wouldn't even say I ever had a dream car.
Maybe I'm
weird like that, but I don't know.
I've had several dream cars. Yeah. However, now that I'm older, if I could just get a driver, that would be nice.
Uber.
I would ride in a Ford Fusion if I don't have to drive it. I love to drive, but gosh, I get tired of that sometimes. So like, if I could just like, hey, pull around the Kia and let me get in the back seat, I'm fine. That's okay with me.
Yeah.
Rob, what about you?
Yeah, I'm a big Lambo guy. I'm not a car guy at all. I'm not a Lambo guy. I'm more of a Shambo guy.
Oh yeah. Ooh la la.
I don't know. I would drive the same car Shambo has. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So a car with a mullet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last year maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, I was obsessed with the G-Wagon. That was a car for me. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get a G-Wagon. This is going to be, I rode in one of those things. I got some broad shoulders and they don't give you no room. I was like, rich people must be so tiny because I can't fit in this car. That was the last dream car I had and I haven't looked back since then. I'm good on dream cars. Just don't make me drive.
All right. And that was it for Soulja Boy.
Yeah.
Drives off.
Yeah. Pretty standard. Yeah. He said next time he has a show, it'll be for his ATL house, you know, Atlanta. And so I don't know if they ever did that episode. I didn't see it in 16, 17 or 18. So maybe it didn't happen. His star, I won't say it fell off around that time, but this was probably the height of Soulja Boy for sure. Mm-hmm. 2009.
The height of his powers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then he kind of came back into the picture with he was on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Atlanta? One of them. And then Okay. And now he has a popular TikTok dance. So, you know, the clap, 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 whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's what he does. This is right. Like, this is what he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason, you follow...
We asked the Soulja Boy, tell them dust.
Jason, do you follow Soulja Boy on TikTok?
I do not.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Imagine that. Okay.
I'm sorry. You're right. I apologize to Mr. Tell me.
Okay. You wonder why Jason and I don't get along, right? He's just like, look, I tried to warn you, but no. You're like, bring Jason on. Okay, it's fine.
I noticed that when we do these segments on the Cribs, like, we just watch this. Now, they show us, like, everything again. Like, yeah, this was only 8 minutes long. Like, I didn't forget. Like, yeah, that was the living room again. Yeah, that was the kitchen.
Yeah. How much content can you really give somebody doing a walkthrough of your home? Especially some teens, right? Like, these are apartments and condos. Mm-hmm. Like, when you get to, like, oh, this is 22 acres. Let's hop in my golf cart later on and go down to my house that my stepdad got for his pool. You know, like, that's when you have to, like, okay, we don't need as much, like, filler. You know, for the episode. But yeah, back on the teen episodes, there's a lot of like slow motion, you know, refrigerator closing, a lot of rewinds and stuff like that to kind of just remind you of how rich they are and how rich you are not.
These episodes are 20 minutes and I'm pretty sure we had about 12 minutes of content.
Yeah, a lot of replays. All right. Next up in this episode, Lil Mama, a.k.a. the voice of the young people.
News to me.
Yeah.
That's Lil Mama for you. Mm-hmm. Wait, Asia, are you a big Lil Mama fan?
You know, okay, lip gloss. When she had her song Lip Gloss, my lip gloss is popping. Yes, I love that song. I had tons of lip gloss. Mm-hmm. I still wear lip gloss to this day, not because of Lil Mama, but I wear my Fenty lip gloss. Yeah. that was her stamp on my life. But then, you know, she had her time on what was it? America's Best Next Best Dance Crew.
Yeah. America's Best Dance Crew. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, she was the Lil Mama. Yes. She was a judge. You know, that just lip gloss, Lil Mama. Everything else, I'm okay without.
Yeah. She could have taken a hiatus from the spotlight a little bit. It probably wouldn't have hurt because her eagerness to be seen has hindered her growth as a celebrity art and an artist, I would say. A lot of the things that she's known for these days aren't the most positive, I guess I should say.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
All right. We'll leave it at that.
Leave it at that.
Yeah, right. We'll leave it at that.
Okay. Lil Mama, she is also in LA and yeah, she's got like a multiple story sort of what would you call this? Like a condo?
Yeah, it's like a condo. Mm-hmm. It's one of those where like, you come in at the bottom and then you just go up to each, you know, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like in Texas.
How many steps?
Yeah.
Why? Right. In Texas I would think of it as like a townhouse, but it's not well, I guess it's kind of like a townhouse, but except she had one bed, three baths. How does that work?
It was like one room a level, I think it was. Like it was, that's what it was almost like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the first floor gets a bathroom, the second floor with the living gets a bathroom, and then the third floor with her bedroom. Okay.
Yeah. I thought this would have been a good quarantine house because I feel like you would have gone up and down the stairs a lot. I feel like that, you know, it keeps you active. It's like a house and a gym.
Yeah. No, it's definitely where you can get your steps in.
You get your cardio in.
Yeah, except this house, like Soulja Boy's, probably, this is probably less believable than Soulja Boy's house because it looks so nice and neat. Lil Mama's house looks like no one's ever touched it. Mm-hmm. Like she has like pictures of her family and stuff up, which kind of makes it endearing, but like none of it, like even when she opens her refrigerator, at least Soulja Boy had Hot Pockets in there. Lil Mama looked like she went to the store that day and like bought some stuff and put it on the shelves and didn't even know what was in there.
We came into the house. And we saw the big windows. There were like no blinds or drapes. Like you've never been looking at your house like all day, every day. Like you're just living on display, like or what?
Yeah, she didn't even know. Like it's not as if she didn't open her fridge before they came in because she was confused about the yogurt. She's like, oh, I got yogurt here, but oh, these are probably my friends.
Terrence strikes again.
Lil Mama loves Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah. That's because it was sitting on the counter that they obviously staged for her. She was like, oh, I love Fruity Pebbles.
I guess I really like Fruity Pebbles.
Right.
I guess.
She opens the refrigerator. She has like a tea kettle, right? A tea kettle on the stove. And she goes, this is where I make my chamomile tea.
No, but she really liked that tea kettle. That was like the one thing she brought from her actual house. Like, she really liked that tea kettle.
Very special to her. But yeah, like Aisha said, she opened her refrigerator, yogurt falls out, and she's like, oh, how'd that get here? I think she kind of liked Fruity Pebbles. We at least know that she knows what it is.
Lil Mama has a friend over, a woman named Emeril. She seemed a little mean to Emeril.
Yeah, she's, what did she say? Do you have that stupid look on your face?
Yeah, she says, Emeril has a stupid face.
Stupid guy with a stupid face. It's the Emeril show.
Like, what did Emeril do to you?
Got nothing to say, dummy.
Like that, but Emeril is Chappelle. I'm the person who's like, Lil Mama, you gotta let me come be on Cribs with you. She's like, okay, fine. And then the camera comes in, I'm like, oh, here's my friend Chappelle. I'm like, I have nothing to say.
Like, she looked like she's been held hostage.
Right, I beg to be here, but now that you have cameras on me, I'm reconsidering. I think that might have been Emeril's role. Because Matt, I keep wanting to call this man Magic Mike. Miami Mike.
How dare you forget Miami Mike's name?
Right. Miami Mike was Soulja Boy's co-manager, which again sounds like a cousin that he just like, hey, tell him I'm your manager type thing. I'm sure Miami Mike does a lot of work. Emeril had now she didn't even have a decoy job. It was just, this is Emeril with a stupid face. Yeah. I don't know why Lil Mama said that. Again, a person who could use a little like seclusion away from cameras.
But see, it's like, okay, she's obviously one of those friends who gives her friends a hard time. But it's like, you're on camera. This is MTV. You could have taken the chance to hold that.
Lil Mama has a bunch of awards, including a surfboard.
A bunch? I think she had one.
Yeah. She had one award that they show. I'm sure Lil Mama had something else. She might have had a dirty award or two. But yeah, that was a surfboard. That was a Teen Choice Award, right? The song she had with Chris Brown and T-Pain. I believe that's Freeze. Like me. Yeah, that's the song. And I was very happy that she showed it off because that's like the one Lil Mama song that I really like. I wasn't a lip gloss person. I thought the song was cool, but my lip gloss was not popular.
Right. We go up and we see Lil Mama's bedroom.
I love how she talked it up. Like it was like a very normal bedding situation. But she was like, I have like the red and the white and the black going on. She was like talking it up as if that wasn't like a normal situation.
She's like red, black, white, boom. Again, yeah. You got it.
What was it? What was Soulja Boy's? Kablam! What was he? What is Shazam?
Kablam!
No, this was Lil Mama's first entry into that room. She had
never been there.
Like, oh, look at my apartment. There's a red in here and some black and white and yep, that's about it. Like her pictures of her family were in the other room with Emeril. So I wasn't quite sure how often she visited this home because she didn't seem to have anything to tell us about the actual rooms in it.
Yeah. And the brightest room in the entire world.
Right. Yeah. It keeps her relaxed, she said. But that's because, like Jason said, there's no blinds.
Yeah. We didn't see the bathroom, right?
No, we did to see
it. It was a very basic bathroom.
Okay, that's what I
remember. It had a shapely tub. That's one of her favorite rooms.
Ah, yes. It wasn't even... Oh my gosh, I feel like Chappelle's going to go in on me again, but it wasn't even like a garden tub. It was just...
Yeah, look at Asia. Like, did it have jacuzzi jets? Yeah. I don't think
What's a garden tub?
A clawfoot tub like I did in my house.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Because anytime I'm looking, I've looked for like apartments or like the house that I live in now. It's like, I look for garden tub. It's like a wider, it's a deeper tub. It's not just your standard tub, right? So you have more room to relax for your baths with
Lil
your
mama,
you know,
such a basic
bombs.
Tub.
Yeah, basic tub.
How dare she show us that?
Yeah,
and she says that, and oh, I have the shower for when I'm in a hurry. And then I use the shower.
When,
like,
when I need to shower. Yeah, thank you, Lil Mama, for that bit of insight.
I have to wash my body rather quickly.
Yeah. Hey, Lil Mama, it's us from 2021. We're in a real hurry. We don't even take showers, okay?
We're on Zoom. I might have skipped one or two. Yeah, get on Zoom and just hope you never have to stand up.
And she takes us outside. She says it's the waviest spot in the house.
Oh, it's the windiest spot.
Well, windiest.
Because you're outside, little mama. Because you're outside.
She likes the waviest spot in the house. I like wavy as a as an adjective. I used to say it. I'm back in 2009.
She's right up on that street. Like, I feel like that's not ideal.
She's no.
Awful place to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She does the same thing Soulja Boy does. Like, look at this view. And you, like, look out into this random neighborhood. Like, where there's just, the
freeway.
Businesses and traffic. Yeah. Like, no, little mama, I don't think that's what... No, that's not how it works. You're supposed to, like... It's supposed to be scenic. You're supposed to see stuff. And I just don't think we saw anything. See,
those are the houses people stay away from on HGTV if it's, like, near high-traffic areas, you know? But we didn't talk about the piece of artwork she had that had, like, the gears and was shaped like a heart.
Yeah.
I like that. That was my favorite part of the whole episode.
Little mama's favorite thing in the apartment, too.
That I'm seeing for the first time. This is actually really great.
Yeah.
I don't know who brought this in here, but it's awesome.
It's kind of like a steampunk type, like heart that was turning around. So little mama liked it.
She had all the cogs and sprockets and all the things that the Jetsons love in that one painting. It was great. Mm-hmm. Or was it like a sculpture painting? I don't know. It was weird. She, again, like Jason said, she just found out about this thing. She had never seen before.
Like, oh, look at this thing. Oh, this is cool. We are going to, of course, wrap up like we do every crib segment. Check out the cars.
Yeah. And I believe she had a white M5 BMW?
Yes.
With the black detail, because you know.
Don't forget the black detail.
Was that a thing in 2009? Because I feel like that's pretty, like, that's kind of standard. I don't know.
Miss Wealth, do you have any insight into the black detail?
Oh, I wouldn't know. I don't have the black detail.
Okay. All right. Falling off. Okay. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay. And that was Little Mama's crib.
Yes. One thing she did, which is the whole point of cribs, if you're a wise person, is she publicized her next upcoming album. She's like, I'm working on my album. Like, you're going to have these people in your home for that amount of time. They're going to film you in very intimate place, hopefully, if you actually have lived there. But this is your time as a celebrity to say, hey, buy my thing. Check me out on this. You know, plug yourself. And so I was happy that she did it. It was a very business savvy move, but she never said what the project was. So I'm
just did she have an album that came on after that? Came out after?
I don't know. Lip gloss, you tell me.
The only album I see is Voice of the Young People. Came out in 2008. So before this one. So that was a false promise. And we didn't get another album.
Well, dang. Yeah, it was a false apartment also for a little mama. So. Sleeps in a bed of lies.
She's like, I'm going to do something at some point. Watch out for it, I guess, I think.
Yeah.
She had songs. She might not have been working on the album, but she definitely had other songs since 2009. I just don't know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. And then finally, the great Mark Indelicato was here on MTV Cribs. Chappelle, do you have a favorite Mark Indelicato project?
Yeah, so y'all might not have heard of Mark, but Mark is like, his, my favorite project of his is Ugly Betty, which may or may not be his only project. I don't actually know. I've never seen this individual in my life. I'm not an Ugly Betty fan, which is why I was like, I need co-host. I need to go get people to watch, because maybe Jason or Asia has actually seen Ugly Betty. Picking an episode of Cribs to watch was difficult because they use such an assortment of people that where I don't think there's ever an episode where you know all three people well or you care about all three people. It's kind of like, I got to sit through this like, you know, I don't know.
She's like an athlete of some sort. Like,
yeah, you know. I got to sit through this Rob Dyrdek, you know, portion so I can get to the Shaq portion. And so when I was seeing, you know, who was on this docket and this slate, I guess I was like, oh, Soulja Boy, that's good. Little Mama, that's fine. Oh, Mark Indelicato, I guess I should Google him and find out if anything problematic has come up with him so we don't talk about it. So that was one of the things that I struggled with seeing Mark on this episode.
Yeah. Other than Ugly Betty, this MTV Cribs was one of his last appearances, I feel like.
So I knew him not from Ugly Betty, but from the one episode he did of Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the episode. So I love Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. And he was on the one episode where they did this musical and he kept like challenging his, or he kept, I guess, talking about this musical he's in called Floss. And he was just a very dramatic character. Wasn't a huge role, but it's like, when someone's on one of those shows that you like growing up, you kind of remember them if they were like, if they had a personality. And that was the only place I knew him. So I was very surprised to know that he was on Ugly Betty. I've never seen an episode of Ugly Betty in my life. But when I saw him, I was like, I know him from Disney Channel, but I don't know what. And then Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Yeah.
You were that Leonardo DiCaprio meme of like pointing at the screen like, ooh, him.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Mark and Delicato, Jason, it's not a super impressive crib that he's showing us.
It's not. It's pretty small. It's a New York apartment. So it's, you know, again, just like the LA ones, like pretty small. Like there's not a lot of you can do there.
Yeah.
He's got famously the rust color wall with the green furniture as if that was a mm-hmm. big accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has a bit of a kitchenette.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he loves to cook, right? That's what he said. He mm-hmm. got his Rachel Ray cookbook. He yeah. likes to make guacamole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some fruit. He didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He yeah. wasn't aware of the fruit.
Apples, oranges. Wait, what is this?
Yes. But I will say this about Mark's apartment. You can tell someone lives there. Like the kitchen, like the stuff in the refrigerator. I was like, okay, someone actually lives here. I was questioning which room it was his parents because they didn't show that. But I think mm-hmm. Mark was, what, 15 at the time?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's safe to assume that it wasn't just him and Hannah shacking up at the time.
Yeah. He also said you need to have at least one box of Chinese takeout in your refrigerator to have an authentic New York apartment.
Unless you're getting Chinese takeout every other day, you should not be having at least one box or else it's inedible at that point. You need to throw it away.
Rob.
Yes.
Have you ever, I mean, were you're from the New York, you know, this is your like expertise right here.
Yeah.
How many boxes of takeout were you keeping in your refrigerator at the time when you were living in New York?
So I never lived in Manhattan. I've only lived on Long Island, but I'm sure mm-hmm. that I have had like many takeout cartons in my refrigerator at various points in my life of, you know, here's a Chinese food container. I have no idea when this is from.
Okay, so story checks out. Mm-hmm. All right, sounds good.
Yeah. Mark has a friend over. He has a friend, Hannah, who does not get to speak either.
But he says hi to Hannah at least three times.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every time we pass through and like Hannah was somewhere in the shot, he'd be like, hi, Hannah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We see like he has like a very tiny table. Really, there's nothing interesting whatsoever at Mark's apartment. He takes us to his bedroom and he's like, this is my prized possession. This is my iPod speaker, plays beautiful music.
The big, now obsolete iPod speaker.
Yeah.
That was a thing, Rob. That was what a time, right? What mm-hmm. a time when you had like walk in and see the huge iHome, I think that's what they were calling it.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to have your iPod propped up. I think on his, he was listening to Santa Gold. I mean, Mark has taste. Mm-hmm. I will say that much. But yeah, I remember when my iPod home was like my most prized possession. iPod was a big deal back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had to actually like insert the thing into the speaker.
You
had to dock it in the speaker.
This is my iPod Touch, I think mm-hmm. what they were called.
Mm-hmm. Not iPhone, iPod, and then stick that in the giant speaker. And that's Mark and Delicato. Not that exciting.
That's it.
Pretty much. He, you know, 15 years old, as a 15-year-old with an apartment, congratulations. Yeah. You know, most 15-year-olds aren't living like that. So yeah. Good
Seems
job,
like a
Mark.
Nice enough guy, Mark and Delicato.
Yeah, he seems cool.
Yeah.
He had a PS2 and a Wii, so you know he made some money from Ugly Betty.
Yeah.
and he made a point of pointing out, he said, it's a PS2, not a PS3. Mm-hmm. Like, I ain't balling like that. We got a PS2. We're playing Spyro the Dragon here, okay? And that's it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's talk about the adult episode of Cribs, the season 18 episode, back with non-teenagers. And Chappelle, we have an episode here starring Rob Schneider.
Yep. The host, I guess, voiceover person says, from the big screen to the flat screen, freezer fresh edition of MTV Cribs starring Rob Schneider.
Mm-hmm.
What is, yeah, okay. Like, I'm sure in 2000 and what was this, 2011? This might have been a little bit, people might have cared a lot more. I think I kind of grew up watching Rob Schneider in different aspects, so this was kind of fun to watch. But I don't think when they designed,
2011, was anybody caring about Rob Schneider?
I highly doubt it. Time I actually thought about Rob Schneider was when you and Akiva talked about it on Renap, talked about the Animal, I believe.
Yes, we talked about the Animal, which was, I think, from 2000 with 2001 with Colleen Haskell. Jason, what's his biggest movie? The Deuce Bigelow 1 and 2?
I think Deuce Bigelow is probably his biggest hit, quote unquote, if you want to say that.
But this is 6 years post Deuce Bigelow European Gigolo.
Yeah. I don't know why he's featured here. Like what has gotten him onto Cribs? Because I can't really recall anything else he's done other than, like, I really want, like, justice for, like, Jordan Kalish, because, like, Rob Schneider has made a living out of the one catchphrase he said in, what was it, The Water Boy?
You can do it!
Yes.
He made a living off of that. Where is Jordan Kalish's mansion? Give me this. Jordan Kalish is the king of catchphrases. Hey, girl, hey, C's baby, give this man a mansion.
Well, I mean, he was, friends with Sandler from the SNL days, and then just, like, has, like, made a living of, like, Sandler giving him projects. He even says in MTV Cribs, like, this is the house that Sandler bought.
Yeah. So that's the only way I knew him. I was like, oh, he's that guy that's always in Adam Sandler's movies. Like, I didn't know him on his own anywhere else. So,
to have a friend like Adam Sandler, right? Like, Adam Sandler is the person who's like, I'm going to get famous and I'm going to make sure all my friends have money too. And I'm not just going to give
like
it to
Chappelle's friend in the podcast space. Like,
my God.
Yes.
Jason, oh my God. You are so kind. Always.
It gets you on podcasts like RHAP Rewind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
What do you think I'm doing here?
Okay, make sure y'all hit my Cash App though, because I'm gonna need to get paid. Okay, I'm not Adam Sandler. You pay for my time. No, Jason, why are you like this? Rob, I think that this being the house that Sandler built, it was very it wasn't very modern, I guess I should say. Like, this house is old.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that this is like, if you ever see any of like these like 1920s like Hollywood mansions, like I feel like that this is like what they all look like. Just like it's like very like dark inside, like a lot of like that, like really like dark wood, and like I feel like it all like is like a very similar look. Like, I guess that this is a thing you want to have if you are like, I feel like I saw pictures of Bill Simmons's house like when he when he moved, and like it looked exactly like this. Like Bill Simmons now might have Rob Schneider's house from
he probably bought Rob Schneider's house when he had to downgrade because he wasn't making any more movies.
Right. Like I'm also willing to bet Rob Schneider does not still have this house. Rob Schneider is now living in Mark and Delicato's old apartment.
No, that's horrible. But yeah, this home is old. It was the home from, he said, this home was built during Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the coolest things I noticed is, I mean, like he like hits the secret compartment on the wall and then boom, opens up and it's like a wet bar. You know, he's got like glasses and a shaker. Like, oh yeah, that's what I need in whatever modern home I one day, you know, break into and sleep in. I hope that they have one of those because I'm never going to afford something like that.
Yeah. Rob Schneider makes a lot of references to this being like a love palace, about a lot of women coming over. These poor women that had to go to Rob Schneider's house.
It looks like one of the, like, you ever seen The Hobbit or like Lord of the Rings? That's kind of how the entry of the house looks. I could just like, I don't know what they call that place where Bilbo Baggins, I don't know, Frodo. I don't know what they call that place. The Shire? Yeah, but like, you're a woman and Rob Schneider's like, yeah, come to the Schneider Shire. And you know, like, where the magic happens, boom, boom, boom. Like, he's like hidden secret compartments and alcohol is not falling out. He probably needs to just rebrand this whole little presentation for the ladies, at least.
Yeah.
Well, we say this, the show doesn't age well. I think even in 2011, most of the stuff that he was doing was really out of date, really like not cool. Mm-hmm. Like some of the accents he was putting on was like really upsetting to me. I was like, I'm gonna need you to stop that.
Yeah.
You kind of wonder if he's in on the joke. Like, you know,
I don't think he is.
I feel like, okay, you get the call. He's the elder statesman at this point to where he was when he started his career, at least when it was, you know, taking off. And they're like, we want you on Cribs. And Rob Schneider's like, you want me on Cribs? Have you seen where I live? Mm. And so, yeah, he's like, oh, this is where the magic happens. This is where the ladies come, blah, blah. Like, I think he might have been playing it up because he knows that he has no business in this spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They called Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler was like, hey, let me give you my buddy, Rob Schneider.
Exactly.
You can go to his crib.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So we see the kitchen. That Rob Schneider's kitchen is kind of boring.
Yes, kind of drab. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drab. Look, I told you I was on a stainless steel appliances high.
Yeah.
And when he walked into his kitchen and I didn't see them, I started to itch a little bit. I was like, oh my god, the ghetto,
Like, was this a kitchen from the original house from the '20s?
right, exactly.
With the original appliances. Yeah.
Yeah.
TikTok Nicole told me if you have a white refrigerator in your house, that's like very not good.
White refrigerator.
Got bodies in there.
Yeah.
You can't.
Doesn't match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are things you should know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's stainless steel or GTFO.
Pretty much.
That's it.
Exactly.
That's it. A lot of beer in Rob Schneider's kitchen, predictably.
He says he has Mexican beer, rotted salad, and an all natural protein bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for his health, obviously.
As far as the most interesting man in the world didn't pop out, you know, to advertise that Dos Equis beer in his refrigerator.
Yeah, we got to visit Rob Schneider's bedroom. Something that we probably all could have gone without seeing what goes on
absolutely.
There. And he talked a lot about the sexing that's going on in Rob Schneider's bedroom.
Well, moving on. let's talk about the next thing.
No, I really am interested to hear you guys' input. Asia, first, do you have any strong feelings about this love room?
Strong feelings about wanting to know nothing about it.
Absolutely. Look, Rob Schneider says this is where the sexing and the people get what they want, what's coming to them, or he gets what's coming to him.
Oh, no.
I just didn't love that. I didn't want to hear that. And then he says, this is my flat screen where I watch my porn. Again, thank you, Rob Schneider. We don't.
He said because he wanted it crisp. That's why he has to watch it on the flat screen TV.
His 32-inch flat screen TV.
You know, he's 57 today, which means when this came out, he was 47.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I think Rob Schneider, was he the only person that didn't have a friend over?
Oh,
are you shocked?
He did.
Yeah. Is anybody shocked?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think we got to go into his closet where there is no sexing happening in the in the closet, as you were wondering.
Right.
He has his t-shirts in there. Yeah. He has a ukulele Drew Barrymore gave him.
And
is that from 50 First Dates?
I don't know. Is he in that?
Yes. Because Adam Sandler
Yes, I guess so.
Rob. Jeez.
Sorry about that.
He's got the bongos from Big Daddy. No, I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. There was a bongo.
Yeah.
He did have bongos, though.
And he has double TVs in case his movies come on. He can watch it on two different TVs.
So does that mean he has three of these flat screens in his room? Because he showed us one earlier, mm-hmm. and then he showed us the double situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he has three.
Mm-hmm. I can play each of the only movies I'm known for on all these TVs 24/7 a day.
Oh my gosh. If you had two, Jason, if you had two like flat screen TVs and you had to watch your two favorite Rob Schneider movies or whatever at the same time, which ones would it be?
Ooh. Do the cameos count? Because I probably put on like Waterboy, like, you know.
Or if you're going to watch him on Cameo.
Oh, yeah, you could do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
My two would be 50 First Dates and Big Daddy.
Yeah. Wow, he's not even the star of either of
those absolutely. No.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't watch it. You can't watch Rob Schneider movies today. They should be blacklisted from any streaming service.
He said they're very popular in Europe and they make a lot of money. Could believe that.
You know what else he did, Jason? Do you remember he did a TV series also, Men Behaving Badly?
Men Behaving Bad. I remember he had a very short lived series where he was married to a Mexican woman.
Rob, yeah, it was Rob, yes, like with an exclamation point and like a question mark also.
Yeah, I feel like it was on like TV Land or something, and it was lasted like less than a season.
No, I think maybe it was a CBS show also.
CBS, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was like very short-lived also along the way. But he also has a dog named Oscar. I believe that is his only Oscar.
Good one. Good one.
Hey, if you can't win one, go buy one.
I guess.
There you go. So he has Oscar. Oscar was chilling in the yard, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. This was the first yard we got to see, though.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited. I thought, like, you know, for those people who really like landscaping their own yards, that could never be me. I could never have that. That's not my ministry. But for the people who like cutting their grass and like trimming the hedges and stuff, this seemed like a pretty decent yard. I think this was the highlight of his house for me, easily.
It's got pool.
Yeah, I liked it. I like it.
That's a little bar to clear, but mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
I mean, I'm just saying, I was trying to find something I liked about it, and that yard, I was like, look at this. It's like a normal yard. It did have a koi pond.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't.
We're talking about abusing his fish.
Right, yeah. He didn't feed them at all. But, yeah, I thought, like, aesthetically, it was pretty.
Yeah. All right. Anything else to say about Rob Schneider's crib?
His couch in his living room was from Paris. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It looked like he bought it from a thrift store for like $20 yesterday.
Old.
You know,
go ahead, Asia.
You know, it probably would be like Rob Schneider, even though I know nothing about him, probably would be like him to say he got it from Paris because that's like a Cribs thing to do, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things he did have that looked like it came from a thrift store. So he had these two things on his mantle. And he walked past them and he says, I got these from Brazil. And one of them looks like a hidden immunity idol from the Amazon. He said he got it from the Amazon. I don't remember how. But the other necklace that he doesn't touch.
I don't believe they had hidden immunity idols in the Amazon.
Oh, I would have to ask somebody who was there. Yeah. I would never know. But the other necklace he has, I'm pretty sure I have that same necklace. So I know it didn't come from the Amazon. So he didn't show that one, but I saw it and I was like,
You have the same taste as Rob Schneider. I'm not sure that's something you go around and do.
I mean, I didn't wear it. Also, at the time, I was, 19? Mm-hmm. So, probably got it at, like, a luau party or something like that. But the other one, it looked pretty, I don't know if it was authentic. Rob, you won individual immunity in the Amazon. Did it look like something that stood out to you?
It had more feathers. Yeah, he made it sound like that his films are very big in, like, among Amazonian people.
He just said, believe it or not, people mm-hmm. outside of the United States have good taste.
Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't even say, like, oh, like, I'm Brazil's number one movie star. Like, he cited specifically the Amazon.
Yeah. That right there. I mean, again, you were in the Amazon.
I didn't see a lot of theaters. Yeah.
Okay.
There was a reward to go see one of Rob Schneider's films.
Yeah. Right. Today we're playing for, you'll get to go see Deuce Gigolo European Gigolo. Of course,
that would have made sense for them to take you to see The Animal with Colleen in it.
Yeah, I guess that's his his claim to fame. So I know, I guess probably somebody that was on season one of Survivor who was on with Colleen Haskell, who was on with Rob Schneider. So I'm like only 3 degrees away from Rob Schneider.
Wow. Yeah,
give her a call.
And that means you're 4 degrees away from Rob Schneider because you know me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so honored.
Thanks.
Yeah.
This is almost as good as the day I met Jason. Like, this is epic.
Almost.
almost.
All right. Let's talk about Tyrese. Tyrese had an interesting crib.
They called it his West Coast lair.
Mm-hmm.
And they titled him as the Four Brothers star. I guess at this time, this was probably the project he was known for the most amongst the white people.
This was pre Fast and Furious.
Right. Because black people would have pointed out that he was a successful R&B star at this time.
Yes.
Yeah. And so Tyrese is one of those R&B stars that kind of presents rapper energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not shocked that this was the home that we were getting. Very flashy.
Yeah. When I heard Four Brothers, I was like, What even is that movie? I'm sure I've seen it, but I was like, what? That's the best you could come up with for Tyrese. But yeah, baby boy, like, I mean, but I guess it has to be like, you know, something that's like digestible.
Gotta appeal to MTV audiences.
Right. True. Mm-hmm. But yeah, pre Fast and Furious. So that definitely would have been it if it was Cribs today.
Yeah.
He has some interesting art in his house, including that he has a painting of Marvin Gaye sitting on the couch that he got from Marvin Gaye's wife.
I've never been annoyed by art into this episode of television. The Marvin Gaye picture that came from Marvin Gaye's wife, I thought that was a great picture.
Yeah.
It was a great painting. Marvin Gaye's iconic. His wife was really nice for giving that to Tyrese if she did. But that is the only artwork that I can speak highly of in this home.
Mm-hmm.
And we will get to the other art later on, I'm sure.
Yeah. He also, I think he like opens with like, he says that there's a bathroom right there, but then like kind of does the thing where he's implies that somebody's just used the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that old gemstone.
Yeah.
Right. So funny.
Yeah, somebody cut the cheese or something. I don't know. But that implies that there are people in his home.
Yeah, well, we got to meet the personal chef, Marcos.
So was this Marcos doing? Is Marcos the guy who blew up the bathroom?
I think so.
Wow.
You know, yeah. Marcos was like, this is my big break. This is my moment. Because he had all the food like prepared on these little plates.
Right.
He's like, I'm gonna get so many clients off of this. And it was like 2 seconds.
I hope he did. I hope he did, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know what movie that Tyrese was preparing for that he had to
adjust
his diet. Yeah.
That might have been too Fast, Too Furious territory. I'm not sure.
Fast Five came out in 2011.
Was that 2011?
Probably, yeah,
it was. That's probably what he was worrying about. Or Transformers.
That came out in 2011. Yeah, as well.
Yeah. Or maybe he was just getting back into shape for, I guess, preparing to do Fast 6. We know they don't know when to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to wonder if he's ever off the clock for that movie franchise.
You know what? Too Fast, Too Furious came out in 2003. They could have said, this is Tyrese from Fast and Furious. So weird. Yeah.
Four Brothers was more recent. You know, you don't want to erase the accomplishments of him, like the 7 other movies he did before this episode of Cribs came out, right. Or the 5 albums the man had before 2011. That's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah.
Four Brothers, like whatever.
Four Brothers probably get a lot of pop on MTV at that point. It was like Mark Wahlberg and Andre 3000 was in that.
So I don't know how much like the publicist for these things are like involved with that. Like, what year was Four Brothers?
2005.
Okay, so probably not. Yeah,
6 years after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So. And then Transformers was 2007. You think that's pretty big. 2009, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah. I don't know.
They just pick something. They had one of the production
MTV
assistants. What movie has he been in?
Who was this guy again?
Yeah.
Was Mark Indelicato?
Mark Indelicato was on top of it. He's now the MTV intern, Mark Indelicato. Was there anything that Marcos made that looked good?
It sounded good.
Yeah.
It sounded healthy. He was like, we got jerk chicken without, and we have no creams or cheeses.
And he made like
when
a
he
soup.
Said no cheese. Yeah. But when he said no cheese, I was like, I'm out of here. That's kind of it's my wheelhouse. That cheese, bread, all the things that are bad for you in excess, I do them in excess.
Mm-hmm.
See, that appealed to me because I don't like cheese. I eat pizza, but I don't eat cheese.
Wait, do you take the cheese off or for pizza?
No, I'll eat the cheese on the pizza, but that's the only cheese I'll eat. Okay. And I know people say, oh, lasagna is similar. It doesn't taste similar.
Okay.
So. Strong takes on lasagna. I like
it. We got to see Tyrese's screening room.
I believe that was a movie theater called Reese's Love Room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe Netflix and chill there. Pre-Netflix.
Yeah.
We can DVD and chill.
I mean, I just feel like if I'm Tyrese's friend and you're like, hey, like, let's watch a movie. Oh, yeah, I have a theater in there. And you get like, go out to the door. And you see like Reese's Love Room. I'm like, hey, where's the theater again? Is this can't be like, why are we in there together? I don't want to do that. I don't want to watch those kind of movies with you, guy.
Yeah. And he has like an Atlas type guy who's like holding up like the screen.
Yeah, and he imitated it, which I was glad to see.
This was literally his excuse to show off his muscles. Because what we just pointed out is that he's working out and dieting for a specific movie role that we have not been able to identify just yet. But I think this was Tyrese like, hey, look at me. I have muscles. Hey, look at me over here with my muscles. I've been working out. Look at my chef. Because I'm getting muscles, you know. So I think, I felt that in my soul. I work out one day and I'm in the mirror posting selfies and all kinds of stuff. So this was right up my alley.
Mm-hmm. Do you have Chappelle's Love Room of where you go to watch television?
I do. And it's kind of the same room as all the rest of the rooms. Nothing's different. It's the same. It's all one room. Just, you know, don't worry about that, Rob.
We go through the family room, the pool room. Therese is very excited to show us that he has a chandelier. Like, no, nobody else has a chandelier over
the second
table.
Chandelier he's shown us.
Yeah.
It's the absolute worst spot for a chandelier above a pool table. I can just think about how many shots where you just hit the cue ball the wrong way, pops up, is going to hit your chandelier. That's how I know he doesn't use the pool table.
We got to see Jason, that we go to, is this Tyrese's room that he has some sort of like a chair for his
feet,
a pedicure
AKA
machine,
his hands, he calls them,
and he says, "I don't have feet. My feet are my hands."
Yeah, the feet are his moneymaker. Apparently, I don't know why you would install this in your bedroom. I'm almost afraid to ask why.
Yeah.
I'd imagine it's something that I would trip over in the middle of the night while trying to go to the bathroom as well. Like, that's not a good look.
Why are his feet his hands?
I don't know.
They're so nice.
They're so nice.
They're like hands.
Meticulous. Yeah.
That's my guess.
Does he wear a lot of sandals in his movies? Like an open-toed shoes to show off his feet? I don't get it.
I don't know.
You got nothing from me. I heard him say it, and I was like, "Oh,
Chappelle's like too quiet right now."
Yeah, I'm not.
I think Chappelle's got a foot massage chair in his bedroom.
You were on
right
the
now.
Podcast where we talked about Enzo. You weren't all quiet then.
I was, and I might have mentioned the only phalanges of some sorts to talk about where my feet are displayed for a nominal fee. But that was during the summer. I'm a different Chappelle now. That's the old Chappelle. We don't have to talk about him.
Yeah.
That's why I got so quiet. I was like, what if everybody looks at me and Todd finds out about my hand?
This is like when somebody brings in the Cribs camera crew and you brought, I have my friend Chappelle come over. He always has something to say, and then put the camera on him and now he got all quiet.
Oh,
put the camera on. Chappelle's got his shoes and socks off. He's just showing his feet to the camera.
Say it, Asia, with my stupid face.
Yes. Sitting
here with the stupid face on.
Tyrese goes, Tyrese Chappelle with his stupid face.
Mm-hmm.
Big dummy.
This is when Tyrese called his room the jump off. This is the jump off, he said.
Where business happens. I will give Tyrese more credit than I give Rob Schneider in this moment, because these are equally creepish things. But Tyrese does make his money largely off of making romantic music. Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is something that he has to kind of like really connect with in order to, you know, to hone his craft. We've seen that he has like this large, amazing, pearly white grand piano. So we know he takes his music seriously. And so the bed is part of his creative.
But Tyrese only had to acknowledge it once. Rob Schneider acknowledged it like 12 times.
Right.
He was like, I was having sex over here. I might have had sex here. I might have had sex here, but there's no sex in the closet. Yeah, you're right. Rob Schneider was overdoing it just a tad.
Yeah. And then we got to see Tyrese loves red. He gets to have a lot of red in his bedroom.
This was my favorite thing about Tyrese's crib.
Yeah.
Because Rob, he's from Watts.
Yeah.
And apparently Watts is like a heavily, like it's heavily influenced by like the Crip gang. And so because of that, he wasn't able to like happily flaunt all the red that he wanted to wear. It's his favorite color. But because of he had to be like
because Crips wear blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He had to be cognizant of his surroundings. And so now that he is filthy rich and makes a ton of money and is no longer surrounded by a bunch of Crips, he can wear the bloody red colors that he so desires.
Yeah.
And proudly state his gang allegiance.
Basically. Right. And also let you know that he is a Crip or Crip related.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, we go into Tyrese's closet and we see his shoe rack. Chappelle, is this like what you have for your sneaker collection?
Pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close.
But he has all Timberlands.
I have all Jordans.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't understand. So Tyrese does a thing where he pulls out this big, huge, wolf fur fur coat. And he's like, I never get to wear this because it's all so hot here. When do you wear the Timbs? Those are winter boots. You don't wear those in like the tropical area because your feet are going to sweat. What? You care so much about your feet, your hands, that you wear Timberlands all the time? Shenanigans. I call it shenanigans.
Well, what do you think? This isn't his house? Do you think that he...
There's just no... He has to have more shoes. There's just no way he's only wearing Timberlands, bro. I just don't see that for him.
And what's with the wolf jacket? Asia, is this a thing? People have wolf jackets?
It's a Tyrese thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 2011, you got to think about what the style was back then. Maybe that was normal to see on an R&B singer, but not just like every day.
Yeah. You wear that out now and you'll really be having red because PETA is going to throw a bucket of paint on you.
Are they exactly. still doing that?
I don't know.
Like, I haven't heard anything like about PETA attacking somebody with paint in a very long time.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't wear the wolf jacket.
No, but like I said, Tyrese likes to present almost like rapper energy. And rappers are really big about flaunting their big fur coats. Pimp C famously wore a big fur mink coat on a Jay-Z and Pimp C music video for Big Pimpin' on a yacht.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's wearing a fur coat on a yacht, which makes no sense. But there's no weather on television. You know, it's just like, that's it. Drip or drown. And he had to pick drip. I'm sorry.
All right. We get to see a bunch of Tyrese's murals now at this point.
So annoying. Okay. Here's the thing. Tyrese has a mural of what is a play on The Last Supper, very famous painting about Jesus Christ and the disciples and the people who will in the future betray him.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyrese has emulated this by using the images of fallen musicians, black musicians, and he has lined them up as so. I believe on the very end, you have Bob Marley.
Yep.
You have the late Aaliyah, Tupac. And then in the middle, you have Marvin, the black musical Jesus, gay. And then next to musical Jesus, you have Lisa Left Eye Lopez, Biggie Smalls, and Barry White.
And Jam Master Jay.
I'm sorry. I forgot about Jam Master Jay. this is absurd. But I was able to kind of like say, you know what? Pay homage to your heroes. I just don't think The Last Supper is really where I want to envision, like, you know, Marvin Gaye as Jesus, but also kind of looking down the end at Jam Master Jay, like, I think you might betray me, but whatever. Eat your lunch. You know, so I didn't love that. I also didn't love he had Tupac being baptized by Malcolm X.
That was like, worse than The Last Supper.
Yeah,
it was.
I
will say.
I wanted them to stop. I wanted them to stop, and I wanted him to explain this painting. Like, I wanted to get more into that. Like, why is this here? Why is this the painting?
Yeah, Tupac had a stranglehold of people around that age at that time. Like, I mean, for Tupac to have died in his, what, in his 20s? Mm-hmm. People just cannot let Tupac go. And I get it. I know Nicole is a big Tupac fan, Rob. I know this. But would you ever allow Nicole to bring... I mean, you're about to move, right? Yeah. You're about to move into your new North Carolina home. What if Nicole's like, hey, Tyrese was selling this thing really cheap online. I saw it on the Facebook market. It's Malcolm X baptizing Tupac. What do you say?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you do? What do you do with that? What do you like? What is it? Like, what do you do in that room?
It's for your podcast studio. What are you talking about?
Would you compromise to put it next to life size me? Would you compromise with a cardboard cutout of Tupac in your home? Would you compromise? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Nicole might have already had one at some point. is Tupac being baptized because is he sort of like going to have like a resurrection also then? Is that going to be another station that we already have like all of this Jesus imagery? Is this like signaling for when Tupac comes back?
Well, he named it What If, meaning he's like, I was just thinking like, what if Malcolm X baptized? That was it. That was the explanation, period. That was it.
I was so annoyed. Like, I was able to kind of rationalize The Last Supper in my head.
Yeah.
But then when I saw Tupac, I was like, I rage quit, like flipped the table and walked out. I was like, I'll be back. I'll finish this later. It's not that important.
All right. We got to go see Tyrese's cars. Tyrese has what is this that he's customized? What kind of car was this?
Like a truck.
Yeah.
It looked like an excursion. Like,
yeah, he's got the excursion.
Yeah, he's got the double limo tent on the excursion. Yeah. He has a driver, you know.
Yeah.
Major
flex. Is that tent legal?
No, it's
double
not.
Limo tent. Yeah.
Yeah. Limo tent is barely legal, especially back then. So the double, yeah, no. But
he looks so cramped in there. Like, he's not too comfortable at all.
Yeah. But this is the makings. Or what we saw in Pimp My Ride, right? Like, this is very much the Pimp My Ride segment of our podcast today. Because he's like, I got television screens in the back. I got this. I got that. I have a monitor.
Popcorn machine back here.
Right. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Now we've made it. We've made it to the flexi part of the program.
Yeah. Surprised he didn't have, like, the pedicure tub in the back of the car.
Right.
For his hands.
For his hands.
You know? Yeah, Nelly once famously said he was a sucker for cornrows and manicured toes. And I think that's what Tyrese was on. He was manicuring his toes or pedicuring his hand.
Tyrese also had the hubcaps that said Tyrese also.
Yes, that's how you know you've made it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know it's actually your car. Because a lot, like, with some of these cars are rented, but, you know, it's got your name on it. So I think that's more of a flex than anything. But he did tell us that cars are the worst investment ever.
Yeah.
And then he began to show us his Bentley GT coupe. Mm-hmm.
Right. That was some nice financial advice. I wasn't expecting that on Cribs.
And
That's it for Tyrese.
His little brother showed up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was like, oh, there's his one other person. But then I forgot about the chef.
Marcus.
So he had two.
Oh, yeah. Dang, I forgot about him, too. Maybe the brother was the one who blew up the bathroom.
Maybe.
Right.
And then, all right. So finally, we got to see Brody Jenner and Brandon Jenner. I never heard of Brandon Jenner.
Oh, you didn't watch, I guess.
No.
keeping up with the Kardashians?
No, I haven't been keeping up.
Oh, you don't
so I feel like I feel like I now want to expose Cribs because I just looked something up.
Oh.
David Foster and their mother got divorced in 2005. Right?
Whoa.
And this episode was supposedly in 2011.
Mm, shenanigans.
We also have some inconsistencies with Tyrese's movie.
Yeah.
Which was, so I'm thinking, did they shoot these during the first batch of Cribs and like never showed it? It was just like, yeah, let's just shove these into a new iteration of Cribs 6 years later.
They had this one sitting on the shelf for 5 years. This is like the lost episode of Cribs. Because that might explain Rob Schneider in 2005 is a little bit more believable than Rob Schneider on Cribs in 2011. Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, these two guys were on this reality show, The Princes of Malibu, in 2005.
Yeah. Is it possible that Paramount Plus has this mislabeled and this did not come out in season 18, that this was from 2005?
I could believe possible. It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that more, that Paramount Plus just doesn't have their act together.
Yeah, 2005 with four brothers. That lines up right there.
Yep. Yeah, it checks out. I think we figured it out. Because
crack the case team.
Kablam.
Yeah, no.
Kablam.
Yeah, because there's no other reason to explain why Rob Schneider and the Jenners and Tyrese are like, Tyrese probably is still relevant.
Because I'm looking on MTV.com, they call this season 12, episode 2, which would put it 4 years earlier than, or four seasons earlier than the teens edition we watched. And we'll put this in 2005. August 4th, 2005.
There you go, you guys.
Paramount Plus, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are they doing? Yeah. So Rob Schneider is just dropping European gigolo on us. Tyrese is doing Four Brothers.
We have fixed the timeline.
Yeah, we fixed the timeline.
Now Soulja Boy's fireplace is impressive.
No, I think he's still might be
back in 2009.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay. Is that though? Is that valid?
Oh, that's a good question. We got a question now.
Yeah, I think that is valid. I think we have to track. Oddly enough, I think we have to look at Mark and Delicato.
He's probably the one. According to the MTV, that's still season 16, episode 12. So that is is correct.
That's
valid. The Rob Schneider Tyrese episode is just mislabeled on Paramount Plus. They're new.
Gotcha.
They're new. They're just figuring it out.
Bring back CBS.
Folks, I bet you didn't think we were going to be solving a mystery on this podcast, but we did.
Okay.
Jinkies, we did it.
So then, Jason, less shenanigans on Cribs then.
Yes, less shenanigans on Cribs.
I still got some, but we haven't got there yet.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The Jenners. This is what happens when you live with your folks, right? I don't know what your moms are like, but my mom is definitely like, I'm like, hey, mom, I'm having people over for Cribs is coming to my apartment, blah, blah, blah. And my mom is like, oh, I'll be there. You know, like, so I know since they actually lived in this home with Linda, like, she put a lot of effort into this, what should I call this? A decor, elaborate decor. And so I think she really wanted to show it off. Whereas these two, 21-year-old boys had no interest.
But did they live there? Because I feel like
they showed their room.
Maybe like, their rooms had like stuffed animals on them. I feel like the mom like decorated that room and they like stayed there sometimes.
Yeah.
Linda Thompson, who shows up here, she was best known as a cast member on Hee Haw as one of the Hee Haw honeys.
Okay.
Gave birth to sons Brandon, Brody, and I think there's another one. Is there Sam Jenner?
I think you just went out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sam is her older brother.
Okay,
but you still get Kylie, right? Kylie's a Jenner. Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Sam Brody is Brody Jenner.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's Sam Brody Jenner and then Sam Brandon Brody. William Jenner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or something like that.
I have known Brody Jenner for years. Not know him, but I have known of him. Like Heels, Keeping Up with Kardashians. Yes. I have never known that his first name was Sam. So this is really an eye opener for me.
And then in 1991, she marries David Foster. They divorced in 2005, her and David Foster. Was their divorce caused by this episode of MTV Cribs? when Brody and Brandon are like, this is what we do and dad's not around, like we throw parties on David's pool.
So their show, Princes of Malibu, which is, I'm assuming why they're on Cribs. I think that was an MTV show. It was also about them living with their mother and David Foster. So I would venture to guess that Princess of Malibu is probably a reason why they divorced as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And that's before the Hills. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that this is Yeah, that show probably tore this family apart. Well, I wouldn't be shocked if David was over there working on his computer on the divorce paperwork.
Had to be.
I felt every moment of David's disdain for those two guys. Oh.
Could you imagine that you have like stepkids and then they grow up to be like these punks that are like throwing like you've worked, you've made this whole thing, and then you have like punk kids who are like throwing parties in your pool nonstop.
They come walking into your office with a camera crew. These are all my Grammys. Mm-hmm. They start touching your Grammys. Like, oh my God, please get out of my office now.
Yeah. But then David Foster then goes on to, he will then one day rebound and go on to marry Catherine McPhee. Do I have this correct?
Yes. He's currently married to her.
Yes.
They just had a child, I believe.
Yes, the now 71-year-old David Foster.
Congratulations, David and Catherine McPhee.
And we'll get to see David Foster as well here.
Yeah.
So he is 71 and gave birth. He has a newborn who was born February 22nd, 2021. And he is 71 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, congratulations,
why is this weird,
David
Asia?
Foster.
Yeah, congratulations, what is so unusual about that?
Welcome to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This is where the magic happens.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the jump off.
Can you imagine? You're 9 years old. You're getting out of fourth grade class.
Yeah.
And your 80-year-old dad is picking you up.
Yeah. I mean, how old are his stepbrothers, Brandon and Sam?
They're
in their 30s.
Yeah,
like almost 40. Did Brandon and Sam have kids? Because if so, we need to be asking how does he feel about being like an older, like an uncle. Like, you know, he could, at this age, like as old as David Foster is, this kid could, you know, David Foster probably has grandkids older than his actual child.
Well, Brandon is 39 and y'all keep calling Brody Sam, and I cannot hear that. Brody is 37.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments of this episode was when the Jenners reach over and they say, "These are my Grammys," and all this other stuff. And they're like, "Yeah, hopefully someone will touch him later on because of the Grammy."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was some really stupid to say, like, you know, hopefully, like, I guess he gets some play from some women because of his proximity to someone very talented or someone who's done something exceptional in money. And that's kind of the overarching theme of this segment for the Jenners. It's like, yeah, we had
that's
a
the
show,
overarching theme of their life.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. Like, it's like, okay, everyone else we talked about, we can talk about the things they've done to earn this money. And these boys are literally saying, no, this is David's stuff. We just use it for clout. Welcome to Cribs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the whole segment. That's it.
When Brandon, what's his name? Brandon Jenner goes to his closet. He's like, yeah, I wear like two pairs of jeans and like four shirts. All this other stuff just sits here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much more of a douche can you be?
See, I know Brandon Jenner is like the cool, calm, collected older brother. He sings a little bit. I don't know him as this crazy guy, but like I said, my reference point is like Keeping Up with Kardashians, but that's more recent.
Yeah. They eventually go down to where the real magic happens, which is like by the pool. Nice pool, nice setup. But then there's a bunch of punks down there, like ready to have some underage drinking going on.
They were 21, I think, at the time of this. I don't know. At this point, the timeline is broken. I don't know. Maybe that's why
years
they,
ago.
Maybe that's why they, labeled it. They want to protect some people.
Yeah.
I was surprised David didn't come down like, get these idiots out of my pool.
I mean, he basically did. Like, he's like,
right.
Like, what is going on here? They said, this is where we have our parties, that David comes down and busts our parties, kicks our friends out.
He's like, dark.
Yeah.
I love that you use your Anthony voice. You're like, Dad, look what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. These people are all underage. Who's this person? Catherine McPhee? Nice to meet you. My name's David.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine it like,
oh, I didn't think that you'd be here. Okay.
Can you imagine in 18 years, Anthony and Dominic are showing people around your podcast studio?
Yeah.
These are all my podcast awards.
Yeah. Get out of here. Get out of here.
This mansion that they lived in, though, it was, I believe, 15,000 square feet, 22 acres, 19 baths, and 10 bedrooms with 3 recording studios. That just seems excessive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they had to take
a great ratio the bedrooms.
No, not at all. And they had to take the golf cart down to where the pool house is, which this whole pool setup bigger than my actual home and any home I've ever walked into. Yeah. But again, proximity to richness has done wonders for them.
And then the parting shot is them driving across the lawn, like in their car, like on the grass.
And that's MTV Cribs. I mean, that's the formula.
Yep. That's Pick it. 3 random celebrities in any given year and walk through their homes and let them flex on us. That is Cribs. And I was obsessed. I used to watch it all the time.
How did they do 20 years of this? Like 3 celebrities an episode.
Well, I think it was off and on. It took breaks, pretty long breaks through some iteration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, you never have a shortage of celebrities. It has to cost $0 to produce, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I could make Cribs with my iPhone right now. Like, it just like, hey, celebrity, open your house. Okay, here I am. Like, and then all I do is just edit it on like Final Cut Pro or something. Like, this takes no effort. So yeah, this is one of those shows that if you just need something on television, like a Big Brother or something, you just keep it going on forever.
Yeah,
but it would have to be a lot easier now because there are so many more celebrities. You know, we got your TikTok celebrities, your whatever celebrities.
Mm-hmm. They could shoot it themselves and send it in.
Yeah,
I mean,
like that, literally, no effort on.
Yeah,
Paramount Plus is in.
Mm-hmm.
Were you not paying attention to the Snapchat stories? They already did this. Gosh,
If you don't follow quarantine, you didn't follow the latest season. Like, have all the celebrities just film what's going on in their house.
I mean, for like a week, that's entertaining. And then like, could you, Rob, you're a celebrity of sorts. How about keep taking a tour of your house during your Zoom school? How would you feel?
Well, that it would be a madhouse at my house. So that,
and this is my living room. Anthony, get down off the table.
Yeah.
Anthony.
But maybe Anthony. The celebrities are like, they don't want to say like, oh no, don't get my like giant stockpile of toilet paper. I don't want to get my house raided. I don't know if people know what I have going on over here.
These are all my DoorDash receipts over here.
Yeah, I mean, that at a certain point, it's like, hey, Soulja Boy's got all the Hot Pockets. Let's go over to his house.
Right.
Can't get them anymore. All right. Well, this was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob, let's get into some shenanigans.
Yes. Okay. What are we going to do?
We talked about Redman, right?
Yes.
So we'll get to him in a little bit. But some of the more like, interesting moments that I found in my research and that I've kind of known for a while is that, like we said, a lot of these celebrities don't live in these homes. Some of them even borrow the home just for the Cribs appearance. So Robbie Williams, the UK pop star, borrowed a home from Jane Seymour. Rob, you know who Jane Seymour is.
Do I? I think I could pick her out of a lineup.
That would be Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Yes, yes.
She donated her house to a pop star so that he could use it for Cribs. If I had to pick a celebrity and say, let me use your house, at what point would you say, Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, that's exactly who I need? Was the lady from Murder, She Wrote busy? Does she not have a home? You know? So that's the first one. He definitely borrowed the house. Famous pop star at the time and kind of famous now, JoJo. She had one hit song when she was contacted about Cribs. That was Get Out, in parentheses, Leave. Or Leave, Get Out, I guess. She was just famous enough to be on Cribs, but not famous enough to have one. Her and her mom were homeless when they were on Cribs. They were living inside of hotels. And so she, too, borrowed a home from her uncle. That was revealed in a Huffington Post interview. 50 Cent showed off his fleet of Ferraris. And the Ferrari enthusiasts were very upset to realize that those were not his. They were rented. He borrowed them from a collector, actually. Lil Bow Wow, also known as Bow Wow, Mr. Shad Moss himself, had gotten his fame from Like Mike. But because of his Like Mike fame, he was able to show off his cars, which people found out were also rented from prestige luxury car rentals.
I've spent a day with Bow Wow. And nice guy.
Wow. Did you sit in the Ferrari?
It's Asia wealth.
Asia wealth. Did you let him sit in your Ferrari? I guess we should ask since he didn't have any.
Wow. No, we actually, we painted the town red. So we went around.
Tyrese would love it.
He was in town for a performance at like a skating rink. And I knew, well, my dad knew the guy, like his, I guess the guy who was putting it all together. And he's like, oh, do you want to spend the day with Bow Wow? I was in like sixth grade. And so we like went to a church here and there were a bunch of people there and everybody thought I was his girlfriend. And then like, no, we're like 5 years apart. Then we went to Applebee's and he offered me a mozzarella stick and I had to be like, no, because I don't like cheese.
Right? Oh my gosh. It all comes full circle.
You couldn't pretend to enjoy the mozzarella stick in front of Bow Wow?
Calvin Cambridge himself offered you a mozzarella stick and you said no. How dare you?
I know. Like, if it was pizza, I didn't want to have like...
I could do it.
Yeah. Could have.
That made you sound
you're just
like
trying to show that you were down to earth and, you know, we're going to be right. persuaded mm-hmm. by fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not like a yes man. I can say no. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. This is why...
So, yeah, it was fun time.
This is why you have a hard time calling this man by his name, Sam, because you know him personally. You're like, oh, yeah, Brody. I call him Brody, but y'all keep calling him Sam. I just, mm-hmm. you know, ever since we were kids, I just called him Brody, me and him and Bow Wow. Mm-hmm.
Chappelle, can I back up on JoJo for a minute?
Go for it.
So JoJo had an uncle that had a house that could be on Cribs, but she was homeless?
Yeah, she was living in hotels. You know, homeless could mean different things. You know, she didn't have her a home of her own. But they seem to be bouncing around, you know, trying to establish.
The uncle's like, you can shoot an episode of Cribs here, but then you gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Get out.
Can't stay here.
Yeah, you gotta leave. Right. Rapper Birdman, as I mentioned earlier, I believe he had a Louis Vuitton helicopter. But the Lambo door car that he had on the episode was not his either. Mm-hmm. Ja Rule, everyone's favorite person to beat up on for this very reason. Also had some shenanigans on his episode of Cribs.
Never at any other time has Ja Rule been involved with any sort of scam.
Ja Rule had fraudulent dealings. Say it ain't.
Ja Rule has never been on the right side of history ever in his entire life. Okay. Ever. So Jeffrey Atkins decides that he wants to have an episode of Cribs. He rents a home, has a huge party, which completely violates the rental agreement. Yeah. He gets sued by the lady who had the place because she didn't know about the party, but she also didn't know Cribs was coming to her home. Ladies and gentlemen, Ja Rule. And then the last bit of shenanigans.
He's consistent.
He is. We will always get this from Ja Rule. And last bit of shenanigans comes to my guy, Redman, who I am a huge fan of. He really didn't have any shenanigans. MTV told him to rent a home because they were not impressed with his raggedy ass apartment. And Redman said no. Mm-hmm. So look at Redman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pillar I love that for him.
The only honest episode of Cribs.
Exactly. And Redman did what needed to be done. His episode is still the most iconic episode, despite not showing off the glitz and glamour that they wanted you to show off. And I think that's Cribs in a nutshell.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was great. Really fun.
Yeah.
Whose idea was this? Who do we thank?
I think this is Jason.
Jason.
Yeah. We were spitballing for a while, and I think Jason was the one who threw this one out.
Mm-hmm.
It popped up some kind of way. Mm-hmm. And we was like, yeah. We wanted to do the Red Man, but we couldn't find it. We couldn't find it online.
Yeah.
We wanted to do the Red Man.
Yeah. What do they only have? A couple of the seasons on Paramount Plus?
They got the three in total. Yeah,
they got the three seasons there completely like marked incorrectly, as we now just found out. But there's a ton of Cribs clips on YouTube.
Yeah,
you can go and watch pretty much anybody on YouTube. It's just there weren't any full episodes, you know, that we could really dive into, mm-hmm. and so we went with the Paramount Plus. But if you have any interest, listeners, on diving into some of the life of the rich and famous from back then, or you know, finding out what other shenanigans exist, I definitely strongly suggest you go ahead and look at YouTube for those clips because they're pretty good.
Okay. Anything else on MTV Cribs?
Nah.
All right. Asia, where can people keep up with everything you're doing? Your garden tub reviews, cheeseless lasagna recipes,
outings with Little Bow Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. All the above. You can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. I joined Taryn on the Circle Recap to talk about episode 7.
Yes.
So check that out. It's been a great season of The Circle. I've been loving it. Rooting for Kat.
Yeah, well, tell that story. That guess what? Asia knows another famous person.
Look, they don't call her Asia Wealth for nothing. They just don't. Asia, tell us about all your famous friends. We got Bow Wow, we got Kelsey Razmandi, and now we got Kat from The Circle.
Don't forget about Michaela from Survivor.
Michaela, Sam, Brody Jenner. Mm-hmm. Asia, who don't you know? Look, we are so honored to be here.
Guys, it's just the circle that I keep, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hey, where the money resides.
Circle, I get it.
Where the money resides, where the money resides.
Yeah.
That's all very.
So Kat Bell is like an amazing volleyball player from the University of Texas at Austin. We were there around the same time. So I got to see Kat play volleyball. We're Facebook friends, but you know, we know of each other. That's the extent of it. We do have mutual friends that are like my close friends or some of her close friends. So that's pretty cool. But, yeah, she's like being completely herself on The Circle, which is awesome. Like she's such a fun, loving person. She's so friendly. So yeah, that's the extent of it, you know?
Okay.
Also, yes. Check me out on some Big Brother Canada coverage and then Married at First Sight. Continue to cover that. We are almost at the end of the season. We will find out who stays married and who gets a divorce. We find that out next week. So we still have 2 more episodes till we get to the finale. So it's definitely been a good season. It's kind of getting a little bit slower at the end, but there was some major drama up front.
Like most of these shows.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah. All right. Well, great job here today. And Jason, another winner.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great job. Where can people keep up with you?
You can follow me on Twitter at JAYR1085. New Twitter name pending.
Let's see. Yeah. Is there anything from this episode that we can come up with? Work on. Yeah.
Jason Wealth.
I don't know.
Jason and Delicato.
Jason, yes! Delicato.
Sure. I think we might be onto something.
Right. Is Jason Reed taken?
Mm-hmm.
It is taken.
Okay.
I've checked it. Yeah. I've checked every like iteration of my last name with everything.
Well, Reed, man.
I'm trying to get like shut up.
What about jump off Jason?
I can see if Rob, it's available.
Yeah.
Rob, do me a favor and ring that bell for me.
That's what you used to call me in high school anyway. You know?
I bet they did, Jason. I bet they did. You know, Jason, thank you so much for agreeing to this. Like the audience knows, and anybody who's listened to any podcast I've done in the last 2 weeks, we've been heavily beefing, and I'm glad we were able to bury the hatchet to do this.
Mm-hmm. Heavily beefing.
And now that we are in the presence of Asia, you know, what else could go wrong? We got money. We got money around us.
Mm-hmm.
Where the money resides.
Yeah, so Mary had a little lamb.
All right, Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
You know, waiting on you to call again. I am following Big Brother Canada with one eye open. I'm still rooting for King Beth.
King Beth.
Yeah. It's my only draft choice. I don't have any other invested interest in Beth, but I want to win this draft. And so I got it. But yeah, probably on Twitter, tweeting about current events and also television a lot. But yeah, still talking about The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead every week with Jessica Lease on post-show recaps.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, talking to you every chance I get about Reality TV Rewind.
Yes. What are we watching next week?
All right. Next week, I thought that we should take it back to the 90s a little bit. A lot of these reality TV shows are kind of get into the 2000s era. You know, it's kind of the heyday. But there were like rumblings of sorts in the 90s of what reality TV could be. And one of my favorites, because again, watching things I had no business watching, was the hit television show Blind Date.
Yes.
And okay. I got people who understand me here.
Yes.
I loved Blind Date. Oh my God. I just watched it so much. And I asked some people from the Shit 90 Shows Taught Me podcast to see if they could and talk to us as well. And Jessica Sterling and Sarah Ferguson have agreed to talk to us about a 90s reality show in Blind Date. And so that's what we'll be covering next week.
Yes. Okay. That should be a lot of fun. We'll talk about the TV show. Who is Roger Lodge? Is that the host?
Roger
of
Lodge.
Yes.
Look at you, Rob. Were you a blind date guy?
So that I did not watch it like through its whole run, but I definitely had like periods where I was like, "Oh, this is so funny!" Like I love like all the pop ups of like what this person is thinking. It's so mean. Let's see what it looks like now.
I would probably wager that I've seen not every episode of Blind Date.
There's got to be like thousands.
I've probably seen most. I'm not gonna lie to you. That was my jam again.
Yeah.
In the 90s, I was a wee tyke, and I was not minding my own business. Just say that much. And so I was watching a lot of this stuff. Had no business doing it.
Every date, multiple locations.
Yeah. They were hitting the same like six locations, honestly.
but one person goes on a date. It's like let's meet for drinks, and now let's go to the miniature golf course, and then let's go and then let's end at this place.
Yeah, I thought that's how dating was supposed to be, and then somehow some reason I grew up and became an Enneagram 7, and yeah, all that stuff sounds great. Like more, are we gonna do more? We're gonna go to this place. We're gonna go to this place. We're gonna meet a little Bow Wow. I don't know. And so, yeah, maybe.
Never know.
You know. So for me, yeah, this was right up my alley because more is more when it comes to Chappelle.
Okay.
So this was my show.
All right. This was so much fun to get back together. Make sure you join us next week. We'll talk about Blind Date and everything else we have going on. We'll have another Circle Roundtable coming up on Saturday. We'll be live to talk about episode 8 in particular, but all of week 2 of the Circle live Saturday at 7 Eastern. I also talked about the 26th best season of Survivor. Survivor Samoa went 4+ hours on Wednesday night talking with Puya and Mel Hulse over on robhasawebsite.com. So be on the lookout for that if you missed any of it. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.